Welcome to Fueled by Grace. Hi, I'm Pastor Mark Shiver. Glad to have you listening to the program. It's been a while, and if you know or don't know, the last few months have been very hectic and very challenging in my life and in the life of my family. My dear, precious bride, Tammy, of 30 years, died on May 22nd, and I have been overwhelmed with that loss, to be honest with you. And I have had good intentions to post on the website, but going to do that now and hopefully be able to get through it without losing myself to emotions. I loved my wife. I still love my wife. I'm not really sure how to go about this whole grief thing. I'm going through a class. I've talked to some people, but there aren't many people my age and Tammy's age who have lost a spouse, at least not that we know of. And so a lot of people say to me, Mark, I don't know what to say, so I'll just tell you that I'm praying for you. And that's a good thing. If you would pray for me, I would appreciate it. I am a minister of the gospel, and what I do on this website is one thing, and you know what it is if you've listened before. I believe very strongly that God has commissioned me to tell you that God loves you, that He loves you deeply, He loves you passionately, He loves you without end. And this is a message that I've been having to teach myself all over again, because in one of the Psalms, it's 130, maybe 131, you know, it says, I'm the Lord your God who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Wow, that sounds pretty affirmative. And yet when your wife has been battling cancer and suddenly it turns and there just seems to be no hope, then you wonder about a verse like that. And I've had my own challenges in the faith, I'll be honest with you. But I can say to you affirmatively right now, God loves you. And God loves me. And God is good. And God's love never ends. And that there is nothing that can separate you or me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And why is that? It's because God's love was so compelling that He gave His only Son to die on the cross for you and for me. Why did He do that? Because we, as the human race, had sinned. We had, of our own will, which God gave us, free will, we had decided long ago in the garden through Adam to say, you know what, I'm going to disobey God and I'm going to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the tree that He said for me not to eat of. And so from that moment on, the entire human race has had a problem, and that problem has been called sin. And how do you deal with sin when your Creator is holy? Well, you have to have a sacrifice for that sin. And God gave His only Son, Jesus, to be that sacrifice. And Jesus came and lived on the earth, and He did not sin. And as a sinless sacrifice, He was able to do something that no sacrifice before Him had ever done. You see, for years, for centuries, Israel was God's chosen people, and He taught them how to pay for their sins once a year. It was called the Day of Atonement. And they would bring an animal that had to be without blemish and sacrifice it to the Lord just so. There were prescribed procedures, and they were very intricate. And there was a temple, and early on it was a tent, and there was a place called the Holy of Holies. And the person serving as the high priest would take this sacrifice and go in and put blood on an altar, and in the Holy of Holies, God would accept that blood as payment for the sins of the people for 1 year. Well, it didn't completely do the job. It kept having to be done over and over again. And so once for all, God said, I am going to deal with the issue of sin. And He put His Son Jesus on the cross. He allowed Him to be crucified. Actually, Jesus willingly, as a man, allowed Himself also to be crucified. And so here we go. The spotless Lamb of God dying on a cross. But because he did not sin, he was able to rise from the dead. You see, folks, I don't know if you've ever been taught this before, but the wages of sin is death. So when the human race was embedded with sin, suddenly death became a part of the whole process. Job said, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. And so we know that sin leads to death. The wages of sin is death. But Jesus did not sin. So there was a legal right for him to rise from the dead. Death could not hold him because he did not have to pay its wages. Now, he paid its wages willingly as a sacrifice, but the power of death was broken by Jesus himself. And he came out of death and hell and the grave, and all of that ultimate authority rests in Jesus Christ right now because he willingly gave himself, and God the Father willingly gave his Son, and Jesus took the penalty for all of the sin of the entire human race. But because he had not sinned, he had a legal right to rise from the dead. And you know what? The Bible says that we were in Christ and that we rose with him. We have died. Paul says in Galatians 2, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Folks, I want to talk to you today about carnality in the church. Now, when you think of that, you might think, well, Mark's talking about guys looking at porn, or maybe, you know, women that are not being faithful, or whatever. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm talking about a sin mindset that has permeated the church for centuries. And it goes like this. There's an altar call, and the folks are singing Just As I Am, or whatever the song is, and the pastor has preached and presented the gospel and the good news, and a couple of people go down front and they're crying and they give their lives to Jesus, and they are told by the pastor, God is forgiving you of your sins. Come to Jesus. He'll forgive you of your sins. He'll make you brand new. Today's a great day, brother and sister. You are brand new in Christ. Your sins are forgiven. Oh, it's a wonderful thing to be born again. Now, what we don't get told is that you are actually born again. Not as a human. Nicodemus asked Jesus in John chapter 3, how can I go back into my mother's womb and be born again? No, your spirit comes alive. Because before you receive Christ, your spirit is not alive. But when you received Christ, the Holy Spirit came into your mortal body, and you were born again and are a new creation in the Spirit. So now you are a spirit and a soul and a body. And instead of teaching new believers and old believers how to live in that new life, within days, the next sermon that new believer hears is how to defeat sin, what not to do, 6 steps on how to stop looking at pornography, 8 steps on how to quit gossiping, how to tame your flesh. And all of a sudden, the true carnality of the church becomes evident. Carnality is nothing more than a fixation on the flesh, a fixation on sin. And so when you hear messages that are talking about how to conquer sin, how to tame your flesh, you are living in a carnal environment, because what you should be taught is that you're a new creation and there's power in the Spirit. And if you will fix your eyes on Jesus and look to him, the author and finisher of your faith, the sin that you're trying to get rid of, the flesh that you're trying to tame, will be tamed. The more you focus on Jesus, the more you study and ponder the love of God. The Bible says it's his grace that leads us to repentance. But no, we are taught to live in the flesh, to live carnally, to think about our flesh, to get into an accountability group. I understand that people are weak as human beings. I get it. But if we would begin to focus on the truth in the church, instead of preaching a gospel of carnality, preaching a mixture where God one day is making you a new creation and the next day he's judging you for your sin. No wonder people don't want to be Christians. There's no power in the gospel. There's no reality of newness of life. But Paul spoke of a new creation and how we have victory over sin because sin is in our members, Paul says. What is that? Your body. James Barron, a great man of God, has spoken and taught of the circumcision. And we see that God would circumcise the men in Israel as a sign that they were his. Well, did you know that there is a spiritual circumcision that takes place where sin is cut away and it is in your members? Yes, you are going to sin as long as you are in a body. But the new man does not sin. The new creation does not sin. Paul teaches this clearly.
Well, Mark, do you mean that people can go out and drink beer and look at dirty movies and do anything they want?
That's a carnal question, rooted in a carnal mindset. No, I don't mean that. What I mean is that if you would fix your eyes on Jesus and the reality that's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that God was in Christ, reconciling the whole world to himself and not counting man's sins against him anymore. If you would begin to think about that and the fact that God loves you so very, very much and that he is in you and you are in him and you are a new creation, sin will begin to fall away and you will tame your flesh because you will be spending more time in the presence of God and less time worrying about your flesh and thinking about your flesh. If you're focusing on how to tame your flesh, your mind is carnal. You're looking at the very thing that you're trying to tame. You're focusing and giving life to the very thing that you're trying to tame. No wonder you can't tame it. You have to have a revelation of the gospel. You have to have a revelation of the finished work of Christ and the reality that God has actually dealt with the issue of sin in his Son. Do you see it? Can you even begin to ponder that sin has been dealt with? I know it's radical. It's an amazing thing to even think about because we have been trained for centuries to look at our flesh, to try to tame that flesh, to try to conquer that sin. Just fast more, brother. Just pray more. Just read more. Just come to more accountability groups and we'll get you through it, brother. No. Get up in the morning and look into the sky and say, Father God, I thank you that you actually live inside of me and that you have made me a new creation. And today, Lord, I'm going to talk to you and think about the fact that I am new in Christ, because your word says also in 2 Corinthians 5 that whoever is in Christ is a new creation. That's what I'm going to think about today. God, I'm not going to think about the pornography that is tempting me. I'm going to think about you. And when I get up tomorrow, I'm going to thank you again, Lord, that Jesus is alive and that he rose from the dead and that he holds the keys of death, hell, and the grave, and that he lives in me by his Spirit. And Lord, I'm going to think about these things. And the next day, I'm going to get up in the morning and I'm going to thank you, God, that you are not counting my sins against me, that I do not live in a legalistic relationship, but I live in a relationship where my Father is God himself, and he loves me, and he calls me his beloved, and he holds me in his hands, and he is good, and he has forgiven me of my sins. And I'm going to go to bed that night thanking God that suddenly I'm feeling stronger, and the temptations and the urges that I was trying to tame are suddenly not as strong. And then the next day, you get up and you blow it. And you're just totally devastated. But instead of guilt and shame, you're going to heap upon yourself the goodness of God. What, Mark? Somebody sinned and you're going to
heap upon them the goodness of God? Yes, because that sin was judged and punished and paid for in the body of Jesus Christ on a cross 2,000 years ago. And so when you've blown it, you come to the Lord and you say, God, I thank you that you haven't left me. And Lord, I'm sorry I did what I did. I don't like doing that because that's not who I am. And so, Lord, I'm going to pick right back up where I was yesterday, and I'm going to thank you, Father, that you love me and that you have forgiven me of my sins and that your grace leads me to repentance and that you can help me because you live inside of me. And so, Holy Spirit, I just yield to you and I thank you. Show me things, Lord, to be thankful for. You see, the normal Christian life is you blow it, you are mortified, you are led to a place of guilt and shame and condemnation in your mind and by the things you've been taught, and you feel separated from God. Let me tell you something. You are not separated from God, and you have not been, and He does not leave you, because you're going to sin in your members, in your body. But your spirit is a new creation. And the new man, Paul says, does not sin. And so you dust yourself off. And you say, Lord, thank you. God, I thank you. I don't understand this, but you're not counting my sins against me. You paid for these sins in the body of your son, Jesus. And so, God, today I just thank you for being my daddy. I thank you, Lord, for the beautiful blue sky. I thank you for the way that you just make yourself real in my life. And God, I thank you so much for being my Heavenly Father. Holy Spirit, help me today to have wisdom and to not fall into a trap where I do something that I know I really don't want to do anymore, God. Folks, I just gave you in a few minutes two ways of living. One, you can live in the Spirit and enjoy a tremendous relationship with your Heavenly Father, and you can see your flesh tamed, so to speak, and you can see your life changed and moved away from carnality. Or you can stay in a carnal mindset with your mind fixated on the flesh. Folks, your flesh, listen to me, write this down. Your flesh is never going to be holy. You cannot tame your flesh. Your flesh is not what steps into the other realm like my sweet Tammy did. I can tell you that because she left her body. Your body isn't what steps into heaven. And yet we try so hard to get that thing to come in line and to get our flesh to obey. I've got news for you. You cannot fix your flesh. You cannot tame your flesh. You cannot tame the old man. So, what do you do? Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am. I do things I don't want to do, and I don't do the things that I should. But thanks be to God. Paul knew the answer. He knew that Christ and His grace and His love are real. And he knew that his sins had been paid for in Jesus. Hallelujah. And so, what's the answer? Look to him, the author and finisher of our faith. Folks, I've just scratched the surface here. And I'm telling you that we're going to talk more about carnality in the church and the finished work of Christ. And I am going to be a constant reminder to you, as long as God allows, that he loves you and that he has made you a new creation. If you're born again. Now, if you're not, well, you can get born again. Just believe it. The Bible says if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. Think about that. You spend tomorrow, I challenge you, meditating on the reality that you have been made holy in Christ. The new creation does not sin. The new creation is holy
joined to Jesus by the Holy Spirit, joined to the Father by the Holy Spirit. It will change your life. You spend your time thinking on these things, and you will not have time or desire to do the things that you've been struggling with for so long. I had intended to talk more about my wife, and I think I'll do that on another podcast. But today, I just feel led strongly by the power of God's Holy Spirit to encourage you to stop being carnal. Folks, there's a real battle going on. The enemy does not want you free. He does not want you to know that you've been made a new creation in Christ Jesus. And nowhere in the previous few minutes have I said anything that encouraged you to sin. All that I have said is to change your mind. Look to Jesus. Look to the reality that you've been made a new creation. Focus on Him. Focus on that truth and that reality. And the taming of the flesh that you are trying so hard to attain will begin to happen. It's really awesome.